exactly sure where that is.
Look up the show we did on them. It was an hour-long special, and it's a really, really good one. Look at it on our archives on radiofreethinker.com.
That's right. I also want to remind our listeners that tonight is Skeptics in the Pub, and we all know they're at the Railway Club at 7:30, and it's a great time to hang out with your fellow skeptics and have a few drinks. So,
unless you have an essay to write.
Well, nobody has essays to write. Another announcement coming up Saturday, March 20th, it's going to take place at UBC's Victoria Learning Center, is Skepticamp 2010. It's going to be a fantastic non-conference conference.
It's an unconference.
Unconference. Unconferenceable.
What exactly does that mean?
An unconference is where everyone who's participating is also supposed to have something prepared to present.
Yeah, we're going to have speakers, presenters. In fact, our Radio Free Thinker may be presenting as well. But we do encourage everyone who's going to go, please be prepared to ask questions and engage our speakers and vigorous debate. And we do ask you to register early, so please email vancouverskepticcamp@gmail.com. And if you just Google Vancouver Skepticcamp 2010, you'll find the webpage.
I think we're almost out of time.
Right.
In fact, we're going over.
Yeah. Two final announcements, actually. February 23rd is a Tuesday, but you will not hear Radio Free Thinker that day. We are not canceled. We are just temporarily off because of the homeless marathon.
Please listen anyway and donate.
And tune into the webpage, radiofreethinker.com. We may have a special bonus episode available for you. And as talking about bonuses, February 26th, I will be a guest on Skeptically Speaking, and check out skepticallyspeaking.com for more info on that one. Any last-minute announcements?
Only that we're about 2 minutes over time, so it's time to thank Dr. Chris Erickson for coming in and being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, this is Ethan, your free-thinking historian and new executive director of CFI, saying so long.
This is Don, saying eyes open, minds on.
This is Rob saying, have a good evening.
This is Daniel saying, thanks for listening.
Big government and big pharma have entered into a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to big pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces. All in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show / podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
On the sunny west coast of the nation, this is Kid Koala, and you're listening to CITR in Vancouver on 101.9 FM.
The freshest acts in electronic entertainment are coming to Code Live. 3 weekends, 8 shows in Vancouver's newest multimedia concert space. Friday, February 12th, celebrated DJ Kid Koala brings a special turntable cabaret show to the Center for Digital Media, 3 blocks east of the Main Street Science World SkyTrain station. Montreal's Kid Koala, tickets $22. Call 1-800-TICKETS or tickets.com. Code, it's the Cultural Olympiad's digital edition. For more info, visit vancouver2010.com/CODE.
The state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting, like, more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a cry. Draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
Uh-huh. You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver, CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
Everybody, welcome to Weir's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. That was Get Crunk by the Ying Yang Twins. And the reason I play that, I don't know how many people actually do know it, but that's the song that the New Orleans Saints played after they scored a touchdown this year in between the convert and the kickoff at home games. They would play Get Crunk. And, you know, it's one of the great songs a team has ever had. And if you watch it at home games, I mean, it kind of sucks because it's always going to commercial right after it. And, you know, you come back from the break, you can kind of hear it playing in the background sometimes. It's something you got to look for. But one of the, if not the coolest moment of the Super Bowl on Sunday was after a Saints, I think they got their first touchdown. They came back from the break. You could hear people in the crowd singing it. And you could see, like, you know, a Saints player kind of like dancing to it. And that's part, that was kind of neat. I don't think they were playing it over the speaker. I think they were actually just singing it. And it's also one of those things, which is kind of cool with Get Crunk, is when they play it at home, if you look around, everybody's dancing to it. And for some reason, the powers that be, it's just not something that that many people know about. And I don't know, they have the best DJ in football. And the Blackhawks obviously have the best DJ in hockey with the Chelsea Dagger by the Fratellas. We're all tied in with the Canucks. You know, we do woo, right, after the Canucks score a goal. What disturbs me is that I'm watching the Bruins game versus the Canucks on the weekend. They were doing woo when the Bruins scored. So is it not even original what they do here? I don't know. Saints won the Super Bowl. They have the best DJ in football. Congratulations to them. All right, everybody. Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio. On the show today, we're going to be talking any moment now with Sean Olson, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team. Been on the job for a couple weeks now. Still getting, you know, his bearings under him. Still bringing in recruits. Talked to him a little earlier on in the day. We're going to find out in the interview, Dino Jeremiah, what is his status as the defensive coordinator for the UBC Thunderbird men's football team? And I also asked Sean in the interview, the current status of the hunt for a defensive coordinator. So you'll be hearing about that in the interview. And at about 5:40, Joanne Ross, assistant coach for the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, a team that keeps on winning. The UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team is now a perfect 19-0 on the season. They have one game to go for that perfect regular season. They will be hosting a 11-7 Trinity Western team here on the campus at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Of course, all the buzz around campus is Thursday. They got some torch coming through, so I don't know. I don't have anything for you on that during this show. Anyways, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team, Sean Olson, will be with us. You're listening to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
On Tuesday, February 16th, Scottish-born songwriter David Francie is performing at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage at 2750 Granville. In concert, David is a singer and a storyteller. His wry humor and astute observations, combined with his open-hearted singing style, have earned him a loyal following. David Francie has released 8 crafted albums, earning him 3 Junos and the SoCan Folk Music Award. Touring with David is American ballad maker and multi-instrumentalist Craig Worth. Don't miss out on this chance to see one of Canada's finest songwriters. David Francie, Tuesday, February 16th at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage at 2750 Granville. Tickets are available at VancouverTIX.com.
Robots need love too. This is Dan Mangan, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 in Vancouver and surrounding university area. They want to be loved by robots, need love too. They want to be loved by you.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's 2 licensed establishments.
The Gallery Lounge is your location for a wide variety of draft beers at student-friendly prices. Come to the gallery for a relaxed atmosphere and great food, including the famous pizza pretzel. Fellow students provide the entertainment with weekly open mic and karaoke nights. The gallery is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday till 1 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. All the things you see dancing, guess you better find your
way back home. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Well, earlier on in the day, I caught up with the new head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team, Sean Olson. Sean, of course, took over as the head coach on my birthday, January the 20th. You know, great story here. Last UBC quarterback, Sean was, to win a playoff game as a player. He was also the last player to lead him to a Vanier Cup and, you know, ends up becoming the offensive coordinator at SFU, comes back here to take on a UBC program that has not won a playoff game since he left in, he quarterbacked them last time in 2000. Their last playoff win was 99, but, you know, Sean left in 2000, comes back to be the new head coach in 2010. So I had him on shortly after he was hired, and I also caught up with him earlier today. Let's check in on the UBC Thunderbird men's football team. Here's my interview from earlier on in the day with the new head coach, Sean Olson. And here we go. Okay, here I am with the still new head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team, Sean Olson. Sean, how's the first, we're not quite at a month yet here, how's the first 3 weeks on the job going so far?
I've been crazy busy. Lots of stuff to do and lots of things to learn, and every day I've, you know, I usually have a couple meetings and trying to get recruits in, and so you're trying to, you got your hands in 5 or 6 different things at one time, and That's just the job, and it's going okay, I think. I think we've got our guys moving in the new direction, and they know what it is, and they're working hard, and we're getting some new kids into school that are going to create competition for the returning guys next year, and I think we're going to be okay.
You say new direction, Sean. Is that just, you know, you implementing your own philosophies into the program, your own feel? What is the new direction?
Well, basically, I mean, it is a little bit of just new philosophies and the team sort of getting to know what I'm about and where I want this team to be. You know, it's also a little bit of communicating just what I see the future of this program being and why. Basically, it's a bit of a positive direction. We're trying to be a very positive and enthusiastic and energetic crew and really go at everything hard and treat every day like it's the last day that we might be doing this, and I think if we take that approach, then we should be successful. And our guys have really bought into it so far, and we had our first morning workout on Monday, and morning workouts for football players are always a source of contention. We like our sleep and the enthusiasm and the work that the energy that they brought at 6 o'clock in the morning was awesome. and just from hearing through other recruits who have spent time with our players, they really seem to be excited about what we're trying to accomplish, and they seem convinced that it's the right way to get it done.
You mentioned new recruits. Obviously, you know, you came in a little late in the recruiting process. How's that coming along, and can you give us some people you've brought in?
Well, I mean, I don't want to necessarily mention a bunch of names, but we have had some commitments. We're probably at around 7 or 8 at this point, which is exciting. We definitely are behind. You know, I mean, we're probably about 2 or 3 months behind as far as organization, evaluation. So every day we're sort of scrambling a little bit to get information and build relationships and even organize people to come out for visits and things like that. So it's been very hectic, especially just because they're, like I said, we're trying to organize our off-season conditioning program. We're trying to, you know, do some chalk talks with offensive guys and meeting higher coaching staff. So there's a lot of things going on, and I don't know if I'm doing everything as well as I'd like to, but we're getting it done at least. So far it's been very favorable, and it really just confirmed what I thought about UBC when I was a player, especially here as a coach, that it's an easy place to sell. You know, who wouldn't want to live and go to school on this campus? It's got everything that you want from a university experience, and there's no reason that I can see to date why this football program shouldn't be one of the best in the country, and that's sort of the standard that I'm setting for myself and for our players and for this program. We really should be able to be one of the top teams in the nation.
Sean, one thing about recruiting right now, and you did have to deal with it at SFU, is the whole NCAA question. I mean, for all we know, you guys could be NCAA after next season. How has that played with how you're looking at recruits and the recruits you're bringing in? Because this has to be a topic with these guys.
Well, I mean, it is a little bit. Although what I've been told, and was one of the first questions I asked when I got the job, is that what is the plan and what is the direction? It doesn't look like anything's going to happen in the next 2 years from my understanding. I think our situation is a little bit different than Simon Fraser's. Their history was rooted in the NCAA, or at least in American competition. So it was a much easier transition. For us, it's a much more difficult question to answer. You know, our history and tradition is rooted in Canadian competition. So I don't think it's as easy a transition or a sure thing as maybe even I originally thought. So right now we're proceeding forward that it's not going to happen, and if it does happen, it's in the near to distant future instead of the immediate future. So that's my understanding, and that's what sort of I've been told.
Sean, enlighten me here, because you're hearing different things from so many people. What did they tell you about the NCAA?
Just that it's an ongoing process, but it's a process that, it really comes down to not being an athletic department decision. It's a university decision, right? It's something that the university has to want to do, and that obviously makes it a lot more complicated than just, maybe what the sports teams might want, or even the athletic department might want. It's at that. They're in conversations, or they're talking. They were the one pushing the envelope in the first place, 4 or 5 years ago. But it's a lot more complicated than Simon Fraser's transition, so that's sort of where it's at. And at least that's my understanding, and I'm kind of going forward with that.
There you go. But they basically implied to you, Sean, that next year, probably for sure, not the last year in the CIS, at least.
That's my understanding, yeah. Okay. I would say that at the very earliest, 2 years would be, it would be, if it did happen, that'd be the earliest it could happen.
Sean, well, I just, okay, you were giving me some info there, Sean. I had to ask you that.
Again, it's imperfect info, but I mean, that's my understanding of the situation.
Sean, you mentioned you want to bring in competition. Billy Green, your quarterback, you know, looks like coming into this year, but you mentioned you want to at least be able to push him. Have you brought in some quarterback competition yet?
Yeah, we've signed one quarterback, and we hope to sign at least one or two more. So, I mean, Billy will definitely have some competition. I'm looking for someone also maybe a little bit older to come in that has some experience playing at the college level or at least at the junior level to give him some immediate competition for his job. And at the end of the day, I mean, every job is open at this point. No one's secured a spot. It doesn't matter if you're fifth year or second year. It doesn't matter if you've started for 4 years or if you haven't started for a year. Everything's open. Everyone's sort of got a clean slate. They've got to prove their worth, and I'm going in with open eyes and an open mind, and I'm just going to look for the guys that show that they're the best, day in and day out, right? And consistency, it's not just whether you have athleticism, it's the consistency with which you do the right things and you make plays and you do the things the right way. That's what we're looking for. Anyone can do it, you know, 1 out of 10 times. The great ones do it 8 out of 10 times, and that's the standard.
Who's the quarterback you brought in?
I'm waiting for his confirmation paper, okay. So I won't throw his name out there right now. But you know, he's a high school guy, and he's got a ton of ability. But you know, high school's a long ways away from college football.
Local?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. BC?
No.
Okay. There you go. Just curious. Sean, onto the coordinator. Hunt, you still have not decided what to do with the defensive coordinator position.
Well, I've been talking to a bunch of people, and I've probably interviewed maybe on the phone probably about 7 or 8 guys, and hopefully in the next week or so there's gonna be an announcement, and it's gonna be someone that I'm gonna feel very comfortable handing over the defense to, and is gonna be competent with experience, guys, someone that our guys will respond to, and is sort of in the same mold as the rest of the coaches that I've brought on board. Who are positive, energetic people who love football and have a connection to UBC football I think all those things are important. You know, I mean, it's one thing to say that this is the new direction, but you have to follow through with your decisions, and that's something that I'm planning to do with the coordinator, and I'm excited to get some help. I'm really excited to get some help.
Why, you can't coach defense there, Sean?
Well, the coach is the easy part. It's all the other stuff you got to do that requires a ton of time, and you really sort of have to be a Renaissance man. You gotta be good at a lot of different things, and those people are tough to find for the pay.
I'm a little behind, Sean. Dino Jeremy, is he still in the hunt for this position?
No, Dino is not, unfortunately, yeah. It has nothing to do with. I actually wanted to keep Dino on, but I think it was a situation where. It was obviously a little bit difficult, and I think it was tough for him, and it was from our communications, it was a very difficult decision for him to leave. He cares a lot about the kids here, and I think he's done an awesome job while he was here, and he's a guy that is of the utmost character and integrity, and I would have loved to work with him, but it just wasn't the right fit at this time for him, at the same time I can completely understand that. You know, it would be tough in the situation that he was.
Yeah.
Especially with his association with where we're trying to move away from, even though I think his association and all the players, they overwhelmingly supported him. It was amazing. One of the things I did was ask the players about what their thoughts were of Dino, it was something like 70 out of 75 players expressed overwhelming support for his staying on board, and the 4 or 5 that didn't were not negative, they just were not over the top positive. So he was definitely a guy that made an impact here, and I would have loved to have worked with him.
So you did offer him the job?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did this take place? When did this happen?
I don't remember the day, but it was fairly early on.
Right.
Yeah.
I missed the boat on that.
Yeah, no worries. No, you got to stay on top of things. Things are moving fast and furious over here.
There you go. So you hope to have this done by the end of next week, this
week?
Yeah,
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I mean, there's eyes to dot and T's to cross and stuff. But I'm hoping to have someone to have been offered and accepted the job by the end of the week.
Is it, this is your call all the way right now?
Yeah, that's my call.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And who have you brought in? You mentioned Scott Rintoul to me. Who's making up your coaching staff also, Sean?
Well, some of the people will be holdovers. Bob Beveridge is going to be our run game coordinator, and he's going to have a very significant role in our offense. We're going to have Chris Hoople stay on board. In some regard, he's either going to coach linebackers or DBs. We're talking to a couple other coaches that will probably be on board. Mark Norris agreed to help out in some regard, depending on the time frame. Julian Radlin's a guy that will be back, and again, those guys will probably try to split the running back type of position, and they have a wealth of knowledge and experience, and I can't wait to work with them. Paula Rossetti has been hired as one of the full-time guys as our recruiting coordinator and assistant coach. He'll work as a quality control guy and also coach our H position, which is kind of a hybrid tight end fullback type of position, and he'll sort of head all of our recruiting efforts throughout the course of the year. So those are the guys that have been confirmed at this point. There's a number of other guys that will be confirmed, but the position coaches I've tried to push off just a little bit until the recruiting sort of slows down.
So Julian Radlin and Mark Knorr, two guys that got a sniff in the NFL, fullback and a running back, are they allowed to play for you at all? Unfortunately, no.
Eligibility rules. I don't think they are, unfortunately, but their job will be to recreate their greatness in other people.
You'd like that, wouldn't you, Sean?
Yeah, I would definitely like that. That would be great.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, demanding it of them. That's in their contract.
What was it? Nora was Buffalo and Julian did a little Green Bay, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think Nora was also in Atlanta. He had a couple sniffs and was a late cut in both of those situations.
There you go. And rounding it out, Sean, thanks so much for doing this. And, you know, one of the big things you came with when you got this job was alumni, getting them back involved. You've already mentioned a bunch of them in your coaching staff. How's it coming? I mean, Dan Elliott, when I talked to him at the start of this process, when the coach was fired originally, Ted Gavai, he said the alumni UBC, for some reason, they stink at it. You guys stunk at it. How's that coming along, getting the alumni back involved?
Well, I've tried to at least give out, give a call here and there, and I've tried to meet with a few people when I can. That will hopefully take a bit more of a aggressive approach from myself in I would say April, June, just because there's so many things going on at the moment. I would love to be able to sit down and talk to a bunch of them and do a lot more right now, but it's physically impossible.
Yeah.
And there, you have to prioritize things, and so that is something that definitely stolen my plate. It's one of my main things that I want to start, and Coach Rossetti is also a guy that has a deep sort of rooted enthusiasm for rekindling that emotional connection that we should have with our alumni. So that's something that's stolen the plate, and it will be done before the season starts, and I think it's important. I've had a ton of support, you know, whether it be through Facebook or email or phone calls, saying congratulations, I want to be involved somehow, just let me know what it is. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get back and say thank you to most of those people, which I wish I had, but they will get a call at some point or an email or something, and the big thing is that I probably will ask them for help at some point, and it won't be money, but it will be, hey, can you come out to a game, or can you do this, or do you want to, you know, help maybe organize something or whatever it is, but that's something I think needs to happen, and I think that's what ends up making the great programs great. Is that connection with the people that have been here in the past.
And Shrumble, we have confirmation Thanksgiving?
Yes, it's going to happen, yeah.
There you go. Here?
I'm not actually positive. You know, okay. I need to get our schedule and a bunch of different things. But even those things have been taking the back seat in my mind. I've just been, you know, a nose to the grindstone on recruiting and getting our team going.
Yeah, and the defensive coordinator, Sean.
Yeah. I put that in on lunch hours.
There you go. Sean Olson. Sean, thanks so much for doing this. And you're finding parking okay here?
Yeah, so far no tickets yet. And they haven't told me, which is good. I'm sure I have some outstanding tickets, but I changed my license plate. So. No, I'm joking. No, they've been awesome.
There you go. And you're getting through you've got like a pass to get through these Olympic barriers.
Yeah, I'm the head coach thing, and they parts like the Red Sea.
Wow. How about that? How about
No, they've been good.
Sean Olson. Sean, thanks so much for doing this, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Sean Olson, the new head coach. Yeah, you know, under a month into the job of the UBC Thunder men's football team, so they had it. I did not know that Dino Jeremiah offered the job as the defensive coordinator, didn't take it. So we're going to find out at the end of next week who the new defensive coordinator is going to be for a UBC team Once again, have not won a playoff game since 2000. Oh, I'm sorry, 99. I missed that. 99. Have not won a playoff game since 1999 when Sean Olsen actually was the quarterback of the UBC Thunderbirds. And Sean did say, you know, he's not making excuses, but they hired him a little late, and he said it. You know, we're about 2-3 months behind the process. And, you know, I'll go back to UBC and that whole hiring process that they did. You know, it sounded like the moment they fired Coach Ted Gavaya that Sean Olsen was going to be the head coach. I mean, that's what we were able to, you know, that's what, you know, looked like it was going to be. And they took like a month and a half, 2 months. I mean, they wanted to have him hired by, they said, they wanted to have a new coach in by Christmas. Well, they got that coach in January 20th. And you look back and you just say, what was the point of that delay? Apparently, they were bringing in other people, you know, HR, certain people couldn't be at the meetings. But in the end, looks like they might have cost themselves some recruits. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. We're never going to know. But why did they have to take that extra month? That's my question. Anyways, Sean Olsen, the new head coach, hoping to have his new defensive coordinator hired by the end of next week, we're hoping to hear. So best of luck to him. And yeah, you could already hear it, bringing the alumni back in. I mean, you heard those names, Mark Nora, Julian Rattlin. Once again, Julian Rattlin played fullback for the Hamilton Ticats. Mark Nora played around the CFL. He actually also played for the BC Lions. Mark Nora had a sniff with the Buffalo Bills and Atlanta Falcons. Had Creighton winner when UBC won the Vanier. Julian Rattlin had a sniff with the Green Bay Packers. So pretty quality people there on that coaching staff. Elsewhere on UBC campuses, of course, we have the Olympic torch coming here on Thursday. Yay! I don't know. Elsewhere going on UBC sports, the basketball teams on the weekend had a couple big series, both the men and the women. The men officially locking up first place in the Canada West regular season, sweeping the University of Victoria on the weekend. UBC improves to 16-1. It was a tighter game on the Friday than the Saturday. UVic needed to win one of those games this weekend to keep their playoff hopes alive. Couldn't do it. UBC, they only won by 6, 78-72 on the Friday. Saturday, a different story. 90-41 was the final score as UBC outscored Victoria 30-2 in the first quarter. That's very key, winning the Canada West regular season title, because what that means is if you win your first round playoff series, it looks like UBC is going to play either Alberta or Lethbridge, maybe Regina. I don't know. It's not official yet in the first round. If UBC does win that series, which they definitely should, they will host the Canada West Final Four Championships here the first weekend of March. The UBC women also took on the University of Victoria, and they did not fare so well, losing both games. By losing both, UBC will now have to travel on the road the first round of the playoffs. They will be traveling to the University of Alberta, so they got to go to Edmonton the first weekend as opposed to having Saskatchewan come here. So a couple big losses there for the UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team on the weekend. Both teams are going to be finishing up their regular seasons this Saturday. It's Saturday. Trinity Western coming to town. And those were games that, at least on the men's side, you looked at the beginning of the year and you expected to see Trinity Western be maybe the best team in the Canada West, and not the case. Trinity Western coming in with a record of 9-8, looks like, because it's really stupid how the Canada West playoff system is set up. It looks like they are going to definitely be in the playoffs, but it's not official yet because Lethbridge can still catch them due to some criteria. Victoria might catch them, but all intents and purposes, Trinity Western will make the playoffs. However, they're probably going to do it with a 10-8 or 9-9 record. This is a team you expected to have 13, 14, maybe even 16, 17 wins this year. Not the case. The UBC men, though, coming into that game with a record of 16-1. And UBC in the national rankings actually went up a spot this week with the couple wins as Carleton lost the game, who was the number one team. UBC is now the number one ranked team in the country. So there you have it. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. Stay tuned. At 5:40, assistant coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, they're 19-0. Joanne Ross will be with us. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Come on out to Bob Marley's 65th birthday tribute on Wednesday, February 10th at the Royal Canadian Legion Hall. 10 pairs of free tickets will be given out to CITR listeners, so have your ears open for your free pair. That's Bob Marley's 65th birthday tribute on February 10th at the Royal Canadian Legion Hall, located on 2205 Commercial Drive. Be there, Mon!
On Tuesday, February 16th, Scottish-born songwriter David Francie is performing at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage at 2750 Granville. In concert, David is a singer and a storyteller. His wry humor and astute observations combined with his open-hearted singing style have earned him a loyal following. David Francie has released 8 crafted albums, earning him 3 Junos and the SoCan Folk Music Award. Touring with David is American ballad maker and multi-instrumentalist Craig Worth. Don't miss out on this chance to see one of Canada's finest songwriters. David Francie, Tuesday, February 16th at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage at 2750 Granville. Tickets are available at VancouverTIX.com.
Hi, this is Burt Reynolds. You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
Roll off of the ship and here's where they
love you.
Welcome back to Where's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Jeff, I was playing music there. With us on the line from our CITR Sports Department, Jeff Sargent, I played the Buena Vista Social Club from Carnegie Hall. It's a good CD, isn't it, Duncan?
Excellent CD.
It is. It's just
CD.
It's just... I played a Fish cover of Ride Captain Ride, but that was off of YouTube first.
Well, yeah.
That's what I do.
That's not your style. That's be consistent.
That's what I do, you see?
Exactly.
Joining us, Duncan from Dunkin' Donuts also.
It's true, I'm right here.
Jeff, you're there still? Jeff Sargent from the CIT.
I'm here.
All right, well, before I get, Jeff, we're going to talk some UBC sports. Duncan, though.
Truck day.
What's truck day?
It's only 4 days away. When the Red Sox and all the other teams get their trucks driving down to spring training complexes.
That's the day pitchers and catchers report?
No, it's the day that teams load up all their...
Oh, it's truck day.
Truck day.
I was unaware of truck day.
Yeah. So all the teams load up all their equipment into the trucks and ship them down to Florida or Arizona or wherever.
Oh, there you go.
Us baseball fans, get excited starting Friday.
Olympics, are you into this? Why not join the party?
Now that I see now that I see athletes around, I'm getting pretty stoked.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the money drives.
But
me
it's here. So what are you gonna do? Right? But, are you just gonna?
Well,
do you
want to town?
Just, what's up?
I'm going to New York on Thursday.
Oh, you're going to New York?
But I'll be back for the rest of it. And you know, I like when you see the athletes, like that part of it is really exciting.
You know what I mean, though? It's like it's here.
Yeah, you might as well.
You might as well enjoy it.
Roll with it. Yeah.
And there's lots of free events around town.
No, there's lots of great culture happening, and I mean, it's exciting. And like, you know, the Today Show is already here. That's exciting. Matt Lauer interviewing Gregor Robertson.
Who's host the Today Show? I don't watch the Today Show.
Well, I think Matt Lauer is the only one here.
See, if the women from The View were here, I'd be into it. Or Regis and Kelly too. I'd be. I'm a fan of the ABC morning lineup from 9 to 11.
Yeah, right.
That's where I roll. That's where I roll. Because Price is Right. I mean, is it the same with Drew Carey? Ever since Bob Barker left.
Colbert is apparently coming.
Yeah. That's a whole big thing. I know a guy who's actually working on it. He's a writer of the show.
Oh, yeah.
I know a guy, He's coming to work
He's
on
pretty
it.
Excited about it.
I haven't talked to him.
Yeah.
I said I know him.
Yeah, but I said
I know him. Cool. There was like a big thing. I can play these ads and people are going to run in and...
No, I should take the money and run. That's what I say.
Cool. Thanks for doing this, Duncan. Great Enjoy show. Truck day on Friday.
I can't wait.
Joining us on the line here, Jeff Sargent. Jeff, you can see I really had this show prepared today.
Oh, absolutely. This was just planned weeks in advance.
Jeff Sargent from our CITR sports department. So, Jeff, I had... To start off the show, I had Sean Olson, the head coach of the UBC men's football team.
And this was his, was this his initial appearance?
No. This is number two. This is number two.
That's right.
He's going to be hiring a defensive coordinator by the end of next week, he says. Dino Jeremia, your thoughts on this? Dino Jeremia offered the job, turned it down.
Interesting. Well, I mean, Dino was obviously in the running for Sean's position, and you know, that alone, when he didn't get it, you know, obviously he would have been disappointed. I obviously can't speak for him, but I'm sure that's playing a role here. And you know, that's too bad though, because I think Dino coming on board recently and had done a pretty stand up job, and I think he would have been a great addition as the team moved forward. So that's disappointing news.
Yeah, Sean actually said that he did sort of like a poll on the players, and 70% or 70 out of the 75 players he polled, extremely positive feedback, he said, with Dino Jeremia.
Yeah, and this is one of the things going into this whole process, wasn't it? And I think that's why Dave Boyd was on part of the panel that helped select Sean. And, you know, trying to make sure that they had a coach that was going to connect with the players. And obviously you want your entire staff to connect with the players. And you know, that poll just says it right there, that Dino was one of those guys that was able to do that. So, that's too bad. And I guess maybe he has something else on the back burner there. But I guess that's interesting news that he won't be part of the team. But it sounds like they've got someone else lined up here already, eh?
Well, I don't know. He said next, yeah. By the end of next week.
Oh, next week. Okay. Yeah.
Things move slowly.
it'll be a quicker process than Sean's hiring himself.
Well, one thing he did say, and he's not making excuses here, but he said, you know, they are way behind in this process of recruiting and getting everything together. He says they're actually 2 to 3 months behind everybody right now, so.
Well, that sounds about right.
You know,
we've been talking about this for about 2 or 3 months.
But that's what he said. It does look like, you know, that delay in the hiring did put him in the hole.
Well, you had to know it was going to happen, and I think he has been downplaying it, as has the school. But at the same time, you know, there has been these admissions that, yeah, they better get going here. But Sean's already said, too, that the fact that he has been so connected with the Canada West and has such a strong tie there that, you know, out of all the applicants, you'd have to assume that he would have the best chance at getting things going at such a late date.
Yeah.
But obviously there is this huge challenge, and I think Howard had talked about this just last week, I believe it was, that with NCAA too, they often need commitments a lot sooner than other schools. So, you know, SFU is gobbling up those players that might kind of be on the bridge between the two.
Well, and the other one he did mention, sort of tying into the NCAA, is very interesting. You know, I'm really trying to follow this, and what I've been able to gather is President Toop, that's his name?
Toop.
I got it?
Yeah, you got it.
All right. President Toop, next month in March, is going to be going to a CIS meeting, and what I'm gathering, he's sort of doing like a last pitch here for UBC to get equal scholarship monies that they're able to hand out in the U.S. Everybody I've talked to is anticipating that the answer will be no, and at that point, President Toop's going to decide if they're going to go NCAA or not, and my gut here is that it's going to be a yes. UBC's going to make the plunge. Sean Olson was told that if they do go, is that it definitely won't be for at least another 2 years. That's what he was told. Any thoughts there?
Well, I mean, how much longer can this, after another 2 years, I mean, we're talking about 5 years from when this process first began. I mean, that's a whole, series of players there that would have gone through. We've talked so much about how this delay is trouble for getting players to commit, because, you know, their futures would be uncertain if there's a shift in league. So if you have another 2 year delay, I mean, that's only going to make it worse. I think that would be a big mistake. Once they make a decision, that it needs to be executed as quickly as possible.
I think part of the fear, though, Jeff, is my understanding is, this is just me, you know, thinking here, is UBC, where it's going to be real tricky is SFU committed, said they're going to go. They didn't want to go next year. They wanted to go the year after. But SFU discovered that after they committed that they were going, they got kicked out of the CIS, right?
Right.
So that does put UBC in a bind. I think 2 years would be adequate, give them enough time to transition. And I think it would also be good because it would give sort of these players who are, say, third-year eligibility right now a couple years to sort of phase out. I think that is the number. It's just, it's going to be really fun to follow because they're going to know. They're just not going to be able to say for at least a year what they're doing.
Well, we'll see how tight the lid is on that one.
Let's go get people drunk at a bar. We'll find out.
Yeah, bring Toop over. We'll have a couple pints.
We'll find out. Jeff, your UBC women's hockey team. You follow them. Big series this weekend, eh? It really comes down to the wire.
I think big is an understatement.
tell us what it's all about here, Jeff, for this women's hockey team.
Well, I mean, they went into last weekend basically not quite do or die, but it's getting down to the wire, and they didn't get all the results that they needed. In fact, they didn't get the results that they needed at all. So going pointless last weekend, and I don't have the standings in front of me here, so I'm sorry. Maybe you can look them up.
They're 1 point out of a playoff spot. They go to Calgary this weekend. Regina plays Lethbridge. They're 1 point up on UBC for the last spot, but Regina has 4 games left, UBC only 2.
That's right, and that's the key thing here. UBC going to Calgary should absolutely sweep that weekend series. There's no doubt about that. They should take both of the games against a very weak Dinos team. But Regina basically holds fate in their own hands, and the 2 games in hand are absolutely massive. Now, we might not know very well after this weekend what the end result is, so UBC could end up just sitting and waiting for another week would likely be my guess.
Yeah, but I guess the problem is Regina actually hosts Lethbridge, who's barely better than Calgary. So Regina definitely in the driver's seat here, eh?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, Regina holds fate in their own hands. So it's at this point not looking very good for the UBC women's team. But, you know, never say never. Stranger things have happened. But, you know, at this point, they just have to win and really hope that they get a lot of help. But it isn't looking very good right now.
Jeff, the UBC men's team, they've been out of a playoff spot for, well, quite a while now. But, you know, so disappointed I am in the way this team is sort of finishing up their season. I mean, they're currently on a 5-game losing streak right now. And, you know, you go back to 2 weeks ago where they hosted Lethbridge, lost 5-2 on the Friday, 8-0 on the Saturday, you know, and then you're looking at Saskatchewan comes in here, gets a 3-2, 6-3 win. I mean, this is they had a bye last week, but Jeff, this team definitely not finishing with a bang at all, and definitely not happy with the way they're closing out the year here.
No, going out with a whimper, and everything is going wrong. I mean, they've been kicked out of their facility, of course, for the Olympics, and, you know, so, I mean, it's hard to get to anyone to pay much attention to them when they're having to play, quote, home games like they did a couple of years ago in Burnaby and Langley. And, you know, nothing is going right. You said it. The season was pretty much over before the Christmas break. They had to basically play, what, 800 hockey or better and then get some help along the way come the new year. And it just didn't pan out. You know, I think they started all right in the new year, but then things just didn't work out for them. And you really, how do you get blown out 8-0? I just don't know what happened there. I know that you and Mike had talked about this in one of our broadcasts.
Sorry to cut you off, Jeff, to a sub-500 Lethbridge team.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you and Mike had talked about the team and what their state of mind is after one of those big losses early in the new year here. And you just begin to wonder if this team is going out there with the intent to win. I'm sorry, but that's just, you have to wonder.
It's ended real poorly. It's hard to find a positive with this hockey team right now. That's all.
It really is. And looking forward to next season, obviously, we have been for a while. There will undoubtedly be quite a few changes ahead, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen? And again, you want to get a lot of young players in here. How are you going to do that with the recruiting challenges with what your league up in the air?
Yeah, UBC will be traveling to the University of Alberta this weekend. We're broadcasting that one via we're picking up their feed on the Friday. Is that what we're doing?
We did ditch that one. Well, you know, the opening ceremonies are on as well.
There you go. Finishing up here with UBC, Jeff, women's volleyball team, 19-0.
Wow. What can you say? I mean, a team that's won back-to-back championships, and absolutely everyone is, at this point, I think, pretty much accepting the fact that they should win their third straight. They had a bit of a challenge start of the new year there. They pushed to 5 sets a few times, including one last weekend, I believe it was. But managing to keep that perfect record intact, I mean, they're going to pull a 72 Dolphins here, it sure looks like.
I actually encourage people, if you want to get away from the Olympics and check something out on campus, this UBC women's volleyball team, which will not be home for any playoffs at all this year. They will get a first-round bye, and then what it is the team that gets the first-round bye will get a host Canada West Final Four. However, due to the Olympics, UBC women won't get a host Canada West Final Four. The Nationals aren't here either, so this will be their last home game of the year. Saturday afternoon, Jeff, 3 p.m. I actually do recommend people come out, watch this UBC women's volleyball team. So
absolutely. I mean, this team is phenomenal. Gavin Day, our play-by-play guy who does many of our games for the women's and the men's team this year, has, you know, said it the other day, you know, just the weapons that this team possesses. I mean, every point, it's somebody else. The depth on this team is just, frankly, unbelievable. And it is very entertaining. If you haven't seen a live volleyball match before and you go to watch this game on the weekend, you will want to come back.
UBC Thunderbird men's team, Jeff, missing the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and you know, nobody expected great things for this team this year, but having said that, certainly I think if you would have asked anyone on the team, it would be a disappointing year. Really not faring all that great, except for one weekend there against Calgary where they really shone and showed that they can play against some of the best. You know, at that point it was almost too late, and a couple more losses, and sure enough, they're out of the playoffs. So, you know, it's obviously a rebuilding year. It's a very young team, and I think we can only expect better from them next year. But, you know, like I said, certainly disappointing for that team.
And finishing up here, Mr. Sargent, the women's basketball team loses to Victoria, gets swept on the weekend. They'll have to travel for the first round of the playoffs. If they can get out of that, though, SFU will, I believe, be hosting the Final Four. And the men officially this past weekend wrapped up the Canada West regular season championship, number one team in the country, 16-1. I don't know if you caught it, Jeff, on that Saturday. They beat Victoria 90-41.
Yeah, I did listen there, and I heard Doug were getting a little silly there.
Yeah. Jeff, 30-2 they led after the first quarter.
I couldn't believe the score. It was, I mean, you know, and they're, it's not like the Vikes are a terrible team. That was just quite shocking to see the result there.
Yeah, it was, believe it or not, that got very boring in a hurry, you know?
Well, I mean, it becomes a no contest pretty quick.
Yeah, becomes Doug and I having a conversation for the next hour and a half, you know?
Yeah, really, do we need that?
I listened to the broadcast online, and you know what I kept saying? I kept mentioning the team brings it up the floor. I'd be like, Uvic brings it. No, brings it the other way.
The other way.
I kept saying that. You know, I was describing the play, but I didn't come up with anything different when the ball was being taken up the court. It was Uvic brings it up the other way.
You were trying to stay alive
here.
There
comes UBC. Well, I did have, you missed it at SFU when I was throwing up behind the scorers table after the game with my bronchitis.
I'm really sorry I missed that. I'm glad to hear you're doing much better, although, you had a few hacking episodes there on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I'm on an inhaler. I'm on an inhaler week. Yeah, I had the antibiotics, now I'm on an inhaler. It was awesome, though. At the UBC, I think it was a couple Thursdays ago at SFU, I went out there and did the game, and I threw up on the way to the stadium, and I was extremely sick when doing the game. And after the game, I took a gravel just before tip-off. Did I tell you that?
No, I didn't know that.
I took a Jeff, I had bronchitis. Like, I was sick for a week and a half after that.
I can't believe you made it out there.
Well, I had the equipment. I had no choice, right? And I threw up. After the game, I did the game, and I went to the bathroom. There's a garbage can right behind the scorer's table, and I start throwing up. And SFU, those pricks, they're giving me crap that I should go to the bathroom and throw up. And I'm thinking to myself, and it's quite a walk to get there. I'm thinking, I could make a run for that bathroom, but believe me, I'm throwing up all over your basketball court on the way there. I'm not going to make it. It's not. You can't hold in vomit, Jeff.
Well, that would have been an interesting pregame show.
that would have been the postgame show.
Oh, right.
That would have been. Did you hear that one at SFU when I was just? Did you hear that one?
No, I actually missed that one, but I heard you were very ill.
So I was ill, and
I'm doing much better.
I actually made Doug sick too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I mean,
but he mentioned the other night, he did not miss a single game.
No. He doesn't have that weak, you know, Jewish-Russian blood that I have. You can say it when you're that, or I believe I'm mostly Lithuanian. I don't know. Anyways,
okay.
I think I'm no, it's mainly Russian.
Sure.
Whatever, Jewish. Anyways, Jeff, the Olympics are here. Hey.
Yes.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited. It's you know, seeing the torch relay come through. I'm up in Terrace here right now, and it came through last Monday. And, you know, it's far away, and it's rural BC, but the amount of people that come out to see this thing, you know, you really do get excited just being around this spectacle and, you know, seeing it on TV right now in Vancouver. It's very exciting, and Friday is going to be pretty special.
I mean, you know what, I'm going to say this once on the air here. You know what my problem is with the Olympic torch? Everybody talks about the sanctity of it.
Yeah.
Who brought in the modern age the Olympic torch back? And
the Nazis back in the Olympics. No,
yeah,
you're right.
They're the ones that brought it back in the modern age. That's what gets you when I hear people talk about the sanctity of the Olympic torch.
Yeah, nothing.
You know, I mean, I don't know. It does kind of hamper it for me when I hear that. You know.
Yeah.
So whatever. we're ending on that. It's here on UBC on Thursday, though.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and Arnold's
How many protesters do you think will be out there?
Well, oh, God, 15? I don't know.
I'm sorry I brought that up.
I don't know. Arnold is carrying it on Friday.
Yeah, the governor.
The governor. That's the one. I might go to Stanley Park and try to see Arnold carry the torch.
That'll be quite the spectacle, I think.
That's the one. Are you coming into town for it at all, or...?
Yes, I will be down for the very end. I will be in town for the gold medal men's hockey game, although I most likely won't be there. but I will be down to you know, enjoy the festivities and whatnot, and of course our CITR playoff coverage for that weekend.
Great timing for that, hey?
Perfect.
I'm joking. You'd think they would have just the Canada West would have just because you look at it for the men's basketball, for example. Is they could have had the Final Four the first weekend of, like, the second weekend of March and the playoffs the first weekend of March because Nationals aren't till the third weekend of March. Do you think they would have just delayed it a week? But that's
well,
the way
I think the Quebec Conference tends to have their playoffs quite a bit later, it seems. So I think that's the reason why they do that. But I just want to say we haven't seen the schedule yet, but I'm hoping that nobody schedules anything on the 28th of February, because that would not be good.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, and that's the Sunday. I'm just saying, though, Jeff, wouldn't it have been easy, and wouldn't it have been good for, like, people to come out for the games? I mean, these are playoff games, for example.
Well, yeah,
just to schedule everything a week later, because it would not have conflicted with the national championship tournament. Like you're saying, Quebec's playing their playoffs that weekend, the weekend before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, what the Canada West...
It makes me wonder, but this is just the latest chapter, really.
Yeah, and I'll go back to the CIS with basketball when I went out to Nationals last year and they had me calling the games from rafters number 5 or whatever.
Oh, you were on, that's right, you were on 500 level.
Yeah, hanging from the ceiling, pretty much.
But you managed to somehow get your way down to the courtside, didn't you?
Yeah, Stan Wong from the UBC Athletic Department. I did nothing to get down there. He did. I thought I sucked up and was nice to the right people. Turned out I did nothing.
Oh, well.
Turned out I did nothing. All right, Jeff, should I have not told my vomit story? I don't know.
No, well, it was a little graphic, but, you know, you got to paint a picture on radio.
Well, it was, Jeff, I mean, I've got an inhaler right now. I've never had one of those before. I hope I'm doing it right.
I hope so, too.
I hope I'm doing it right.
You sound good. I don't hear any wheezing coming
through. No. I mean, it's just, it's very minor now, but I'm not better. I'm not better, so. I don't know. 1-0 Tampa Bay?
Let me see here. I'm just looking through the window, and it is still 1-0 Tampa Bay mid-second period.
Great. All right, Jeff, we got to get going. Okay. Jeff Sargent from our CITR Sports Department. Jeff, hope to see you the weekend you're here, although I probably won't.
Well, I hope I see you there, but if not, the next time.
There you go. Attaboy. Talk to you soon, Jeff. Thanks for doing this.
Okay.
All right, that was Jeff Sargent from our CITR Sports Department. We are going to take a break here on Wiener's Barbecue, 101.9 FM. When we're back, we are going to go talk to a member of the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, assistant coach, former player, Joanne Ross. This women's volleyball team, one win away from having the perfect regular season. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
CITR is super popular. We've partnered with great local businesses to bring all our friends discounts in their communities. Say you like to kick it in kits. Show your friends of CITR card at Canterbury Tales Secondhand Books, Rufus's Guitar Shop, Prussian Music, The Eatery, Grindhouse Video, Fresh's Best Salsa & Co., Roy Shoes Limited, Vaz Boutique, Sage Natural Wellness, Gumdrops, Spank Shoes, Banyan Books, and the UBC Bike Kitchen, and save. So become a CITR member, get a free friends card, and feel the love. Well, I want to be your old lover. I want to be your man. I want you to understand.
Big government and big pharma have entered into a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to big pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces, all in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so big pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show / podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. With us on the line, assistant coach and former player for the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, Joanne Ross. Thanks for coming on the show, Joanne.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's get into this women's volleyball team. One win away from having the perfect regular season. Now, I do have to say I have seen two different schedules for who you're playing this weekend. One, the Canada West said website said SFU. I saw the UBC website said Trinity Western. So I don't know what to think here. Who are you playing?
We're playing SFU.
Okay, you got to fix that, you know.
Well, I should. I didn't realize it was not correct.
Okay, no problem. What will it mean, though? You guys are 19-0, one win away from the perfect season. You are taking on a 3-16 SFU team, so you're obviously heavy, heavy favorites this weekend. What does the perfect regular season mean to this team?
Well, I mean, it would be great. I think we have a really solid team, so it would be, you know, like, just confirming that we're pretty solid. And that's kind of about, it's kind of about it.
Really? I think, that's it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that it would look good in the record books. I think that that's really cool. And more than anything, I just think the girls really earned it by just playing really well, like weekend in, weekend out, and training hard and just being a really solid group of people.
Nothing extra special, though, having a perfect season?
You know, no, I don't personally know. Maybe the girls think it's really special, but you know, as a coach, you just want to take everything as it comes and not well, me as a coach, anyways, not you know, like not just deal with what's happening right now. And I think that they'll be really pumped and really satisfied of putting together 20 great matches.
Two-time national champion, obviously, this team. You were a player on this team. Is this the best UBC women's volleyball team you have seen? I mean, this group?
They are really exceptional. And more than that, they're just really exceptional people. They're, like, just really awesome people and such a joy to be like such a nice, awesome group of people to be in the gym with, and to just, you know, I mean, we spend so much time together as a group that just really quality people, and I love hanging out with them, and just not hanging out, but just being around them. They're just really awesome people, and just an exceptional, I mean, the group as a unit is so tight, and I think that's one thing that's so special about this group. They're really supportive of each other and really good friends, and you know, when we're in tough times, I think that is what pulls us through. So
I hate to go back to it, Joanne. Are they the best fast volleyball team you've seen here?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard for me to say from the teams that I've played on, because you see it so differently as a player. So it's really hard to compare to those teams. But since I've been here as a coach, I think they're the strongest team, yeah.
What has it done to your confidence, though? It's something I've asked a lot of the players as the year's gone on. I mean, it was a, sort of a shadow over this program. It was, you couldn't get over the hump to win that national title. 2 years ago, they do it. Last year, they repeat. Has that made them a better team this year?
Absolutely. I mean, the confidence that brings in knowing that you're able to do it is pretty huge. And the experience of having been in really tight situations, really tough matches, really high-pressure situations, and having overcome and come through as, you know, as champions and as winners, those are lessons that are really hard to teach anywhere else. Like, it's really hard to teach those lessons or to gain that experience in any other situation than having gone through it. So the fact that we have that under our belt, and that some of these players like Lizzie and Katie are fifth year, you know, have gone to nationals, I think, you know, almost every year, and have played in the finals and have won and lost in the final is just incredibly huge. I mean, I would, for any player, any fifth year player, I always give a ton of respect to, whether they're on the best team or the worst team, just because they have 5 years of competitive experience, and so having those two girls on the team makes us really, really tough to play against.
Is it a concern on the team? We had Claire Hanna on the show in studio a couple weeks ago. It's coming down to the last week to see where you guys are going to be traveling to the Canada West Final Four. Correct?
I know.
Yeah,
so I know.
Is it a concern for your team that Brandon still might host the Canada West Final Four, because Claire Hanna told me you guys can't get your booster juices in Brandon? Is this a major concern with the team right now?
Major concern. You can't even imagine how much this is affecting us. No, I guess Brandon, I mean, for us, is the longest road trip, because it's a 3-hour flight and a 2.5-hour drive. So that's just really, it's just the toughest travel schedule for us, so we would love it if it were not in Brandon. And yes, the booster juice thing does throw the girls off a little bit, but they are experienced players, so I'm going to say they can overcome that.
But she also said the beds are small, and you're going to have to, like, the Canada Highway, they got to go over that to get to, like, a Tim Hortons across the road or something. I mean, you are rooting for Manitoba this weekend to hold off, aren't you?
Absolutely. We are so rooting for Manitoba.
You are. Yeah. You are. So
yep.
What would you do if Brandon got it? I mean, as you're a member of the coaching staff, you want to keep the players at peak condition. Is there a way you would maybe bring booster juice in? I mean, what could you do? I'm told you can't, because you got to keep them fresh. What's the strategy here? Is there a contingency plan if you guys have to travel to Brandon?
No contingency plan yet, but
wow.
We're going to look at something. We'll come up with something. and thanks for your concern about that, Daryl. That's good. I'm glad that you're on this.
She was really concerned. I'll say that. That's where I'm getting on it. So just, and we'll move on, John. Just so I understand here, you're not, right now, you guys haven't planned for anything for the booster juices if you have to go to Brandon. You're only going to do it till you find out where you're going to be going for Final Four after this weekend. You haven't done anything yet.
Nothing has been done. I feel pretty strongly that Manitoba's, that the U of M's going to...
work itself out.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wishful thinking, maybe, but we'll see how it plays out. Joanne, though, one thing you guys, you know, this is your last home game of the weekend, which is very strange because you get the first round bye in the playoffs, and due to the Olympics, you can't host the Final Four, and then you have to travel for Nationals. How's that sitting with the players, the coaches, that you don't get any home playoff game despite what very easily could be a perfect season?
Yeah, it's really nice to win the league. So, you know, that's awesome. And really disappointed that we weren't able to host, because the hosting is just such a huge advantage. But, we're just going to figure it out. And I mean, the Olympics is such a cool thing to be able to host also. So, yeah, we'll just kind of take the hit there in order.
There you go.
For the greater good of being in Olympic City, and like I said, these girls are really experienced, and they're not. It's not a rookie team. You know, we have great rookies, but we have some depth and experience there, and just really confident that these guys can pull through. And we've already gotten over the disappointment of not being able to host.
There you go.
And just feel like, you know, just moving on and looking up. For the next thing.
And hope that you're going to Winnipeg for the Final Four, of course.
Yes, totally, Daryl.
Okay. Okay, I've got a quote there. Obviously, though, one thing where you're not hosting a playoff game, this will be the last home game this Saturday for, as you mentioned, your seniors. So, I mean, as a coaching staff, with this being the last home game, you have to feel comfortable that the team definitely won't be looking past SFU at all this weekend, eh?
No, absolutely not. And the opportunity for these guys to play their last home game in War Gym, any opportunity these guys get to play, they always come ready to play. So, we're excited to play SFU and, you know, crosstown rivals, and a lot of the girls know each other from Canada Games teams and provincial teams and even, you know, high school and club teams. So there's always kind of a friendly rivalry there. And, yeah, we're excited to play and excited to finish off our season.
Awesome. Good stuff. Joanne Ross from the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, former player, current assistant coach, looking to go 20-0 to finish off with a perfect regular season this Saturday, 3 p.m., hosting the SFU. And, Joanne, just so you know, I went on the UBC website. I don't know where I read Trinity Western. It's perfectly there, so...
Okay, good.
Yeah, we'll just let that be. Thanks for doing this. Best of luck on Saturday, and best of luck that Manitoba wins. I'm kind of rooting for Brandon because I think it would just be funny to laugh at you guys, really.
Maybe you can fly out with some booster juices.
Not a chance in hell. Okay, thanks for doing this, Joanne. Best of luck on Saturday.
Okay, bye.
All right, I was Joanne Ross from the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, looking to have a perfect regular season. All right, well, that is going to wrap up the show here. Mike with Flex Your Head. What'd you do? Oh, right, there were two, right? We've got Miles Davis here, which I never play. Is that Miles Davis? And the Buena Vista Social Club at Carnegie Hall. There you go. How's that? No, I did too. That's all I'm on the hook for. That's it. Mike with Flex Your Head coming up after me. Did you get any? Did your dad hook you up with any hockey tickets or?
No.
No, nothing, eh?
Sucks. Good for nothing.
But your dad's working the games.
He's working that every day.
Every day. Your dad's a stat guy.
He's one of the head dudes there.
One of the head stat guys.
He's running one of the whole crews.
That's awesome. So he's going to every GM place game?
He's working between there and UBC.
And here.
Yeah.
So
he's doing the men's and women's and then the Paralympics as well.
And the Paralympics. Oh, so he's...
Yeah, he's going to be gone for a month.
Saturday. Wow, good stuff. I will be off for the next 2 weeks. We're going to have some old UBC Thunderbird basketball broadcasts.
So I'm coming early. And
you can do whatever you want there, Mikey.
Well, let's see if I can even get out here. I don't even know if they're going to block a street off or park.
Well, they've already blocked one, right? They blocked...
Like 16?
16th. Yeah, you got. Well, no, you got to go down like Marine and go up like West Mall or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I come in on 4th, so I'm fine.
Yeah, I don't know though. I'm. I have to come here on Saturday. I'm going to take the bus.
Yeah.
And then that's like Saturday coming out here is like the one more sort of annoying trip I have to do for the Olympics. I have to get out here for Saturday, and other than that, it's start drinking my Fireball in the fridge.
Fireball? What's Fireball?
You never drink Fireball?
No.
We'll leave it at that. All right, Mike with Flex Your Head coming up after me. Thanks to my guest today, Sean Olson from the UBC men's football team. Joanne Ross from the UBC Thunder women's volleyball team. And Jeff Sargent from our CITR sports department. I will say that our final regular season UBC sporting broadcast here on campus will be this weekend. Do really recommend, and I don't know, you know, I do recommend you come out here if you can, 3 o'clock on Saturday to watch this UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. They are 19-0 on the year, looking to go 20-0. They are the two-time national champions. And due to getting a first-round bye and due to the Olympics, this will be their final home game of the season. Playoffs, regular season, everything. So that's at 3 o'clock. The UBC women's basketball team will be here at 6 o'clock on Saturday. And the UBC men, their last regular season game will be Saturday at 8 o'clock versus Trinity Western. Always a fun game. But, you know, the men will have some playoff games. They'll be hosting the first round, most likely hosting Canada West Championships. The one I do recommend you get out here for, if you're going to pick one, is that women's volleyball game, 3 o'clock, hosting SFU on Saturday. And, yeah, take the bus, you know, if you want to get out, you know, whatever. That could be a great thing for you to do. All right, Mike with Flex Your Head coming up right after me. Yeah, okay. I was sick. I had bronchitis.
You're always sick.
You know, that's what my friends are telling me. I go, you're always sick. All right. It's true. Jewish blood, Mike. Jewish, Russian, I don't know, Crohn's. I have Crohn's disease, too, right? Like allergies. I used to get allergy shots as a kid.
I'm like a horse. I never get sick.
Really, hey?
I used to just have to shoot me or something.
You know, I have good feet. My feet are good. Okay, thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
On Tuesday, February 16th, Scottish-born songwriter David Francie is performing at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage at 2750 Granville. In concert, David is a singer and a storyteller. His wry humor and astute observations combined with his open-hearted singing style have earned him a loyal following. David Francie has released 8 crafted albums, earning him 3 Junos and the SoCan Folk Music Award. Touring with David is American ballad maker and multi-instrumentalist Craig Worth. Don't miss out on this chance to see one of Canada's finest songwriters. David Francie, Tuesday, February 16th at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage at 2750 Granville. Tickets are available at VancouverTIX.com.
Hey, this is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Where's that?
Wars while the homeless pray for better days. I've had enough, I've had enough.
Yeah, good evening, and welcome to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM. I am your host, Mr. Steeston Mike, and I am here till 8 o'clock playing punk and hardcore for you. Feel free to give me a call here if you want to hear something at 604-822-2222.